Crack-a-lacka.
There's no arguing with the judge.
We are editing this entire segment out of the podcast.
I apologize. I will flagellate myself later.
I hope you come up with something good.
All right, this is going to go great.
How now, brown cow?
Red leather, yellow leather.
What's the haps?
What are the haps?
You're listening to A Little Nonsense, where the conversation is competitive and the ads aren't real. I'm your host and moderator, Joe Moracle. With me, as always, the McCoy and Spock to my Kirk, Sean Keller.
Well, hi, which one am I?
And Mike Pareto.
God damn it, Joe.
That's got to be reversed, right?
Yeah, up until Mike Mike's up until Mike did that, he was the Spock, but now he's the McCoy.
I knew that I was the Spock, and because you didn't say anything, I decided to take the bones. Yeah.
Take the bones.
Yeah, you took that bone.
Mike does take a lot of bones.
I don't know what the fuck you're trying to say right now.
That statement was illogical.
You guys are so mean to
You're
me.
Nailing it, Sean. Gentlemen, at the top of the episode, we're going to me, and I have a question for the two of you. Sort of a walk down our respective memory lanes.
Mm.
Sean, what is this walk down our respective memory lanes brought to us by?
This fall, a new documentary is coming to Netflix.
100 years ago, there were 1.5 billion people on Earth. Now over 6 billion crowd our fragile planet. Even so, there are still places barely touched by humanity. This is one of them. This is the Louisville Zoo.
The Zoo is an 8-part series that explores each section of Louisville, Kentucky's public zoo in all its glory.
Yeah, when we heard that there was going to be an 8-part series about the zoo, well, we immediately started plans on constructing a 7th and 8th section of the zoo. Just, you know, so they wouldn't have to double back and repeat anything.
There are some 4 million different kinds of animals and plants in the world. And this 0.2 square mile preservation boasts nearly 66 of them. Each section of the zoo tells a story. Take Glacier Run, a gold mining-themed area built to taunt the animals by showing them the sort of industry that destroyed their homes and pushed them from their natural habitats. The African Outpost, where you'll find chickens and cows fried and grilled to mediocrity at prices only found at the busiest theme parks and airports. Finally, we arrive at the Carousel. A twisted depiction of the beasts you've just encountered. The animals themselves frozen and stone-faced in silent terror as human patrons line up to mount them from behind in a clear show of dominance. And as they mount these rigid figures, take special notice of the humans' behinds, for it is only a single quality that separates man from great ape and the earliest hominins. Flippity, flappity, hairless wonders that can only be called the butt cheeks.
The Zoo hits Netflix October 25th.
Oh, thank you, Sean.
Wow, you guys have a shitty zoo, huh?
it's quite small. You know, it's got some animals in it. It's got a lion. Two lions, maybe. I think two lions.
We've got two really great zoos here.
I know.
Yeah.
And one of them is free.
All right, gentlemen, summer is over.
Aww.
Since summer's coming to an end, I wanted to ask both of you if you have a particular summer in your past, a summer memory, your best summer memory, something that stands out to you from the many thousands of years that you've lived collectively.
Yeah, it's about accurate.
Man, if I had lived many thousands of years, I really hope I have an answer to this question.
I've got an answer, and it involves one of you.
My guess is Mike.
It is. Well, I'll tell you why. Well, no, I won't tell you specifically
this
why.
This could be one of my... I think I know exactly where you're going with this, Sean.
I mean,
I'll say that.
I couldn't tell you the year. I don't know that I could tell you my exact age. I could probably narrow it down, but like
it was 2000.
It might have been 2000. Look, the level of responsibility that I had in my life at that point was so low. Like that's really when like my favorite summer memories happened, you know, is when you really didn't have a whole lot of responsibility, and Mike accompanied my family and I on a little summer vacation to a place called Jellystone Park, which is a Yogi Bear themed campground, and we really just like hung out the whole time and did very little. I mean, we did a lot in terms of we played a lot of Magic the Gathering. We watched The Empire Strikes Back on a loop. Like there was this, there was this place, this center in the camp where they had this big screen and you could like put movies and play them on the big screen. And no one ever used it. Like it was
they were outside
and this thing must've seated like 50, 75 people. Maybe I was little and I'm exaggerating, but it seated a lot of people, and Mike and I were like the only two people that I ever saw there. Like we'd go in there, we'd be like, "Hey, we're gonna use the theater room," and then we'd go in there and like play Magic and watch Empire, and it was just very like there was so much fun and no responsibility.
Yeah,
you know? Totally agree. It was so cool. It felt like doing exactly what I could have possibly wanted to do in that moment.
Right, yeah.
It was just like we just executed it perfectly.
Yeah.
I remember asking, like, is there a chance that you have The Empire Strikes Back? And they're like, yes, of course.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, we're done.
Yeah, we may as well have died, because it could have been at that point in our lives, both of our heavens was just, we're just going to sit here and tell inside jokes and be funny and laugh and play Magic and watch Star Wars.
I'm sorry, this is going to be so lame maybe, but I have to pick the same event because
I really do,
because it was such a great time.
I'm glad that you're as fond of that as I was.
I really am. And it was a road trip type situation, and
that's when we wrote
most of our ridiculous Star Wars fan fiction.
That's right.
Script, the Pining of Forces.
Yes. And did we not stay at a hotel on the way?
We did. Yeah. And there was like a conference room, and we sat in the conference room. And there was like a business
conference room, and Mike and I found it in this hotel, and we like sat there with a laptop, and like we're seriously writing out this script and breaking down characters and story beats, and like we worked so hard on this thing.
Yeah. And to be clear, I was like maybe 16 and a half years old or 17 years old, and Sean was probably 15.
Right.
May have been a year earlier than that even. I don't know, but
what we wrote is still better than The Last Jedi.
It was kind of like, oh, for sure, yeah. It was kind of like the beginning of a lot of things for me in my life. Like, I feel like it really kicked off just a lot of passions, you know? Like,
What happened in that hotel room? Jesus.
And actually, I like to use a certain character name in almost every game that I play, or anytime I need an avatar, I usually name it the same thing, and it's named after a character in that script.
I've used it many times too. I still remember the characters' names from that script and a species of alien that was very lizard-like. I feel like we had some pretty like interesting ideas. But I feel like we really bonded on that trip, and we also were able to, like you said, sort of ignite these individual passions that still stick with us.
Definitely. Yeah. And I remember one specific thing that happened. There might have been some like dance or something. I don't know what it was. There was like a group gathering.
Okay.
And we were hanging out, and you know, you and I both had serious girlfriends at the time,
right?
In high school, and some girls came up and they like wanted to dance with us. And I was like, no, we're practically engaged.
Yes, that's right.
Do you remember that?
And yes, and then one of us or one of them like,
not
to each other.
But of course,
sorry, we're practically engaged.
That just opened it up even more for them to be like, oh, okay, bye.
Oh my God. Yeah,
that was a good fucking time.
It was.
Oh man. Wow. Anyway, so now that we've shared our experience together that we both just love more than anything.
So Joe, do you go miniature golfing or something?
Yeah, we're just gonna move on.
Come on.
Well, no, you've prepared a memory. Come on.
Listen, nothing I've got compares to the beauty of the two of you having the same summer to share with our listeners. So we're moving on.
That's a good call, I think, narratively speaking.
All right, next up, we're going to Sean. Sean, what have you got for us?
Ooh. I have a mission in which you guys need to put together a crew.
Oh, God. All right.
This sounds suspiciously like a game, and we are not in the game segment.
No, it's not a game. Okay. It's more of a hypothetical.
All right. Well, Mike, what is this hypothetical crew brought to us by?
We know gamers have choices when it comes to streaming. And in today's climate, more and more streaming services are instituting dress codes and other requirements to make sure that content is the focus. Well, here at Twitch, we know exactly what you want. And that's why we're introducing Twatch!
Oh no.
The streaming service for gamers who kinda just want to watch softcore porn while being vaguely interested in the gaming content. That's right, Twatch streamers are all hot nerds with nearly constant wardrobe malfunctions. Plus, they attempt to play video games and talk and shit. Twatch, we have zero shame. Back to you, Sean.
All right, guys, so big-time gangsters putting together a crew. Your mission, to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
Your crew has to consist of you plus one of each film, book, and television characters. The only rule is that there is no magic, so Gandalf or Harry Potter or Yoda cannot help you. So we need three characters. One has to be from a movie, one has to be from a book, one has to be from a TV show, and they're going to help you pull off a heist. And if you'd like, I can give you mine first, since obviously I've thought of it before, and give you guys a little time to think.
Oh no, I'm ready to go.
Oh well, shit, I like that confidence. Mike, what do you got? Who's your film character?
My film character is Han Solo.
Strong.
Ooh, okay.
Han Solo is just my go-to film heist guy. You know, I mean, he's got a lot of experience. He's a pirate. He's very charismatic.
He can think on the fly.
Absolutely. He's a good improviser. Excellent choice. Not just that, but
it is,
if I'm going to have a team, I'm going to want it to be people I kind of want to hang out with, you know?
That's true. You're going to
bond with my team. Yeah. And Han Solo, that's a guy I'd like to have a conversation with.
All right. What about TV?
TV, I'm going to go with Bender from Futurama.
All right. That's not magic, I suppose.
What, that he's a robot?
He's a fairly sentient robot. I guess it's more science fiction than magic.
Yeah, he's sapient.
A fully sentient robot.
Well, that's what I.
But
I
also,
mean,
he's an excellent. He's a thief.
I'll allow it.
He invented. He created his own crime called burglarson arsony, which is where you rob something and you also burn it down.
All right. So he's familiar with the law.
And yeah, he's got some, you know, he's got he's a fucking bending robot, so he's got a lot of
utility.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And what about, again, experience stealing things.
Sure.
So from, right, from books, I'm going to go with Moriarty from the Sherlock Holmes series.
Interesting that you wouldn't go with Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, no, Sherlock Holmes wouldn't help me with this.
No, probably not.
Yeah. All right.
Moriarty would be very intrigued, probably. And I think eager to help me and very capable of coming up with a plan. He's my plan guy.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he probably gets 90% of the take, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if that you don't agree to those terms, he's probably going to kill you.
Right. Yeah. But it'd be, you know, it'd be good fun. I get to work with Moriarty, Han Solo, and Bender. So I think I'm all set.
All right.
It's almost like I've thought about this before.
It is.
Those answers came really very quickly to mind. I actually thought about all of my answers during your answers.
Joe, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I can go, but I would like to give it in a specific order, TV, book, movie.
Please.
All right. From TV, I want Neil Caffrey from the TV show White Collar.
I've never heard of either of those things.
I've heard of the show, but I haven't seen it. I'm not familiar with the character.
He's a con man and forger in that show.
Well, there you go.
He's going to be the face man of the crew. You know, he's going to handle distraction, sleight of hand, anything along those lines we need that has to be out in the open. From books, I'm going to go with Bilbo Baggins because you got to have a burglar.
Now we can't have the ring though, because that's
no, right. No, this would be pre-ring. Right. I just want a hobbit who makes no sound when he walks.
All right. And
fair
he's
enough.
Quite small.
Yeah, he's quite small. Could be useful. And from film, I'm going to go with Benjamin Franklin Gates from the movie National Treasure.
I was wondering if I.
It's funny. I almost considered that to be like in my head. I thought that might have been out of the question. No. Like I couldn't pick him.
No, I mean.
Yeah, you got to pick him. He's done it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. For mine, I have. I'm gonna go book, movie, TV, just to shake things up.
Go for it.
So my book character. He is also a movie character, but he was a book character first, and that is Jason Bourne. I feel like he would be pretty useful, super spy, super assassin. You know, can blend in, knows multiple languages, very very useful. If you haven't read the Robert Ludlum books that feature Jason Bourne, they're really really great, and they feature an overarching narrative with a villain named the Jackal as sort of Bourne's nemesis, and they're just really good. You should read those. So I have Bourne, and then for my movie character, I'm choosing Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible.
Oh, ooh, yes.
I feel like choice. He'd be pretty fucking useful in many of the same ways that Jason Bourne is, but he's just got that never gonna give up, I'm gonna fucking do this spirit that I like.
Sure.
You know. And then my TV character, I feel like, is the brains behind everything. And that's gonna be Benjamin Linus from Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Who's just a fucking evil genius.
I'm glad that you went with the Lost character.
Do you like Lost, Mike?
Yeah,
you've
Sawyer's
never
the
mentioned.
Con man. I know that Sawyer is the con artist, but
Ben is a bigger con artist, a better con artist than
he
Sawyer.
Is, Ben does the long game, you know, the long con. Benjamin Linus is just always a dozen steps ahead of you. So I feel like he's the mastermind, and then you need two scalpels to surgically enact your plan, and who better than Jason Bourne and Ethan Hunt?
Yeah, no, I think those are excellent choices.
I think all three of us have successfully captured the Declaration of Independence.
Well, hot damn.
We never accounted for our own roles, though.
Oh, well, I would be the comic relief.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck I would be doing.
I assumed I was the plan guy.
I'm going to be an IT guy, I guess.
You're in the van. We're all the guy in the van.
Yeah,
I guess,
right? Yeah, I'm the guy. I'm definitely not going in the van.
Yeah, me either. It sounds dangerous. I'll be in the van telling you what the hallway leads to this room. And all right, I heard it.
Ring-a-ling-a-ding-dong.
All right, next, we're going to Mike in the game segment.
Ooh, game.
All right, so I got a game called Riddle Me This.
Okay.
Ooh, I like riddles.
Joe, what is this game brought to us by?
This game is brought to us by Zero G Dreams. Have you always dreamed of exploring outer space? Since Yuri Gagarin's first orbital flight in 1961, only 562 other people have been to space.
That's actually not very many.
It's not, but it sounds like a lot.
But space is no longer the territory of heroes and scientists alone. You can now realize your dreams and begin your journey into the undiscovered country. For the low price of $37,000, Zero G Dreams will shoot you into space. Zero G Dreams has converted an electric...
That's like a one-way trip.
Zero G Dreams has converted an electromagnetic train track into a launch mechanism capable of propelling a spherical capsule beyond the reach of Earth's gravitational pull. Want to see the rings of Saturn up close and personal? You might. Want to try your hand at terraforming and colonizing Mars? We'll do our best. Want to be the first human to leave the solar system? That's the most probable outcome. Once you've given them your $37,000, Zero G Dreams will immediately shoot you and anything you've brought with you into space.
Immediately.
You could take your dog, your best friend, some oxygen. You could even take your significant other and join the Million Mile High Club. Anything you can fit into the spherical capsule can and will be immediately shot into space. You're probably saying, but I don't know how to pilot a spaceship. How do I use the controls? Don't worry, there aren't any. Now you might be wondering, without controls of any kind or any sort of propulsion system whatsoever, how do I return to Earth once I've achieved my Zero-G dreams? And that's a great question. Zero G Dreams, making space your space by shooting you into it. Back to you, Mike.
Sorry. So there's no answer to that question.
No, it's a great question, though.
All right, gentlemen. So I've got a game called Riddle Me This. I think the name is probably self-explanatory, but the rules are pretty simple. I have a series of short riddles. They're not too difficult. I'd probably call them brain teasers.
Okay.
Really.
Would it make us feel shitty if we can't get them?
I think you'll
I have
get
some
them.
Really easy riddles for you guys.
Well, I'm three scotches in, so if they're made easy, I appreciate
you
it.
You can edit this shit however the fuck you want, Sean.
That's true.
Continuing with the rules, there'll be no buzzers. You can toss out as many guesses as you want. So I don't want to sit here waiting for you guys to think. I want you to be kind of working through it. Okay.
Okay.
So the first one to get the correct answer gets a point for the question. So there's a good chance you might have heard a few of them before, but if you're stumped, I'll just answer it and move on.
All right.
So
just hoping.
Just right. We'll kind of wing it if you're stumped. All right. So first one. Where's the only place that yesterday comes after today?
A calendar.
Tomorrow.
A VCR. Joe's face.
Joe's face.
Oh, the alphabet. Dictionary.
Dictionary is correct. Sean gets the point. Very good. So, second question. What is full of holes, but still holds water?
Full of holes, holds water.
What is a boat
full
that
of
sank?
Holes, but still holds water? That's actually a good answer.
How about a lie?
Sponge.
How about an alibi?
A sponge is correct. Joe does get the point. He gets the point twice for that one, kind of. I can't give him 2 points, but...
What?
A boat that's full of holes does still hold water, technically.
Because it's underwater.
Right, yeah, technically. Exactly. Yeah. I didn't think about that. All right, so I'm a word with letters 3. Add 2 more, and less there will be.
Damn, a word with letters 3, add 2 more, and less there will be.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
It is.
It is. I kind of varied some of the difficulties here, so.
No, that's fine.
All right, I'm gonna call this one.
Damn it, what is it?
This is a tough one. The word is few.
Damn.
Add 2 more letters, being E and R, and the word is fewer.
Fewer, yeah.
Yes. So no winner for that one. Next question. What can travel around the world while staying in a corner?
The imagination.
Imagination.
Travel around the world while staying in a corner.
Yes.
A globe? A map?
Keep going.
Damn, an atlas. A fucking... stay around the world...
I'm going to call it.
Fuck!
The answer is a stamp.
Oh.
God damn it.
Next question. What has a head and a tail, but no body?
A coin.
Ooh, boy. I heard Joe first. I'm going with what I heard, but you both got it correct. It is a coin. So what has 13 hearts, but no other organs?
A deck of cards.
That is correct. That is correct. Joseph gets the point. Next question. What kind of coat is always wet when you put it on?
A raincoat.
What kind
of
coat?
A coat of paint.
A coat of paint is correct. Sean gets the point. Excellent. Next question. What can you not keep until you give it?
Thanks.
A promise.
That is correct, Joe.
Damn it. Good job, Joe.
Thank you.
I've heard that one before. I couldn't recall.
Yeah, some of these are somewhat popular. So you may have heard them before. Current score is Sean 2 and Joe 4.
Ooh.
But we still have 6 questions. Next question. Who has married many women but has never married?
A priest.
Sean. Is correct. Both of you are correct. Sean first.
Fair enough.
All right. Next question. What rock group consists of 4 famous men, but none of them sing?
Mount Rushmore.
Yes,
damn
Joseph.
Damn it.
It is now 5-3.
That was too quick.
Suck it.
Maybe he heard that before. I don't know.
I'm sure he has.
He's just a genius.
I don't know whether or not I have, but I was thinking about Mount Rushmore earlier.
That's weird.
It happens.
That's strange. I think about Mount Rushmore sometimes. It just happens. Next question. I have hundreds of wheels, but I do not move. What am I?
A tire store.
I have to give it to you. I do.
No, get out of here. No, Come on. There's an obviously clever answer.
But it's still correct.
No, but that's not the point of a riddle, you son of a bitch.
Okay, well there are 2 other correct answers for this riddle.
Well, give the riddle again, because that's not a correct answer. Come on. That is a joke answer that's also technically correct.
But I think it is correct.
That's the best kind of answer.
I have hundreds of wheels, but I do not move. What am I? I would at least begin to think in line with what Joe was saying.
Hundreds of wheels, but I do not move. A traffic jam.
That's a good answer.
That is a good answer.
Thank you.
And again, it's related. It's related.
A car show. Rush hour. A fucking...
Parking lot?
A parking lot is the answer I was going for.
That's a good one. I was going to say 20 semi-trucks.
I will say that...
that crashed into each other.
Almost every one of those answers technically would qualify, I think, for this question.
We'll just give it to Joe.
But Joe got the first one, so I'm going to give it to Joe. Next question. We have 3 questions remaining. Let me take a look at the score here. We've got Joe 6, Sean 3. With 3 questions remaining, I'm going to ramp these points up to 2.
Of course you are.
Sweet.
In order to make this interesting.
Yeah.
Next question is, I have a neck and no head, yet I wear a cap. What am I?
A bottle?
That is correct.
God
Joe.
Damn it.
Okay, so that means we're
8-3.
So, Sean, technically, you could lose by only 1 point here.
Well, the one that was a tie, I maintain that I still won. So
that's true, okay. Actually. We'll finish it out, and we'll see what happens in post. Next question. When you want to use me, you throw me away. When you're done using me, you bring me in.
What a garbage can.
What am I?
A garbage can.
Frisbee.
Well, you certainly throw things into a garbage can.
A yo-yo?
Yo-yo is pretty close, I will say. Just mechanically.
A whip.
That is incorrect.
That's a great answer, though, right?
Well, I don't know if you're done
using it. A fishing pole.
Again, you do cast it and bring it in, but are you done using it every time you bring it in?
Yeah, I hate fishing.
A net? A fishing net?
These are all very close. No. When you want to use me, you throw me away. When you're done using me, you bring me in.
Oh, of course. It's a penis.
Should I call this one?
I would.
No.
I would. We got more than enough time, Sean.
I'm going to call it.
God damn it.
But I will add a question so that you still have a chance.
All right.
The answer is an anchor.
Oh, motherfucker. Yeah.
Okay, next question. What begins with an E, ends with an E, and contains one letter?
An envelope.
Yes, excellent, excellent. That's 2 points for Sean.
It could contain 2 or 3 letters, though. It's really how much you can get in the envelope.
True.
Yeah, but it's just a much more difficult question when it's only one letter. All right, final question.
Between 1 and 9 letters. That'd be a harder one, wouldn't it?
The score is... It would be. The score is 8-5.
All right, this one's worth 900 points.
This next question is worth 2 points, but it will be determined in post.
All right.
I know that's really interesting, but that's what's going to happen. What do you bury when it's alive and dig up when it's dead?
A plant, a tree.
Yes. All right, Joe does actually win.
wait, what?
The answer is a plant. Or
you dig up a plant when it's dead?
Yeah, because if you plant like a flower in your yard, it's alive, and if it dies, you dig it the fuck out.
Why do you dig it out?
Because it's dead in your yard. You're just going to leave it there?
Yeah, well, it's going to decompose. Why would you have to dig
it
out?
That's not how it works if you have something that's woody.
If I have a garden and something dies, I have to dig it out? I can't just let it stay there?
Well, you could. It's your garden.
Sean, you have an entire root system in the ground there. I mean, what are you going to do?
What's it going to do? If it's dead, it's just going to decompose.
I'll tell you what's going to do. It's going to prevent you from putting anything else there.
All right. Well, I'm not a gardener. I'm not a doctor of plants. I'm not a plant doctor.
We prefer to be called botanists. Thank you.
I'm not a botanist doctor.
Or horticulturists.
Yes, I'm one of those as well.
Well, there's no need to get personal.
The end score was Joe 10, Sean 5, possibly Joe 9, John.
I didn't even,
the way I said that was not actually John. It was like Sean with a J. I don't know how that's possible, but
John.
Not either.
Sean may have had 6 points. Joe may have only had 9. Either way,
it was a good game.
Joe is the winner, and he gets the negative point.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Joe.
Thank you, Sean.
Congratulations.
I'm gonna go figure out how to garden.
All right, we'll wait.
Perfect. I'll edit out the next 36 hours.
Sounds like a plan. Gentlemen, for our last segment this evening, I've come up with something I call the triumvirate.
Nice.
Ooh, and Sean,
the triumvirate.
What is the triumvirate brought to us by?
Well, it's brought to us by special once-in-a-lifetime Disney funeral packages. Oh, you're going into the ground fast in your shiny new Lightning McQueen casket. Or say good bippity-boppity-bye to your family in an elegant crystal pumpkin casket. Whoops, you were buried without one of your shoes. Dreams really do come true. So this Christmas, give that special someone the funeral they've always dreamed of with Disney funeral packages. And coming soon, Avengers-themed caskets. Spider-Man not included.
Oh, that's too soon. It's too soon.
Well, it won't be on September 17th.
That's true. We'll all
Which
be over it by
this
then.
Comes out.
All right, gentlemen, it occurred to me when I was planning our doings for this episode that there are precisely three of us.
That has
it just occurred
to
you, huh?
Which means if the three of us vote on something, there's never going to be a tie.
Right.
Unless we all agree or all disagree.
True. Right? But, you know, that's not a split vote. That's what we want to avoid. So what I have here is a list of things that we're all going to vote on which is better. And because there are three of us, this is going to be legally binding.
All right.
Anyone who listens to this, unfortunately, you're contractually obliged to believe whatever the results are of this segment.
Perfect.
I see. So we are a triumvirate.
Yes, we will be acting as the triumvirate in deciding these very divisive questions.
Whew. A lot of pressure, but I'm grateful to be in this position of authority.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be a third of a triumvirate.
Well, that's what we do here. We realize dreams.
We've done it 16 times before, Mike.
All right, number one, sleeping or eating?
Eating.
Sleeping.
Oh, the deciding vote falls to me. It's definitely eating. Eating
really?
Is
yes.
better.
Sleeping
Absolutely.
Is so great.
Sleeping sucks. I wish we didn't have to sleep. I wish that we could just not have to sleep. Eating is amazing.
Eating
like,
is
if you
so
get
amazing.
Good food, it is. Mike,
you
take
know
it from
funny?
The two fattest guys well, in this tribe.
What's funny, I like to eat too, I do, but what's funny is that I don't sleep nearly as well as either of you.
That's true.
Well, don't you wish?
So since we can sleep so much better than you can, trust us when we tell you that eating is better.
All
Wouldn't
right.
you rather, if you could get rid of one of the two, would you rather get rid of your need to sleep or your need to eat?
I thought it was which is more fun. And I
well,
think
it's
well, sleeping.
Sure, it's
that's
which
what the
is,
question was.
Which is better.
Yeah, I'm just yeah. saying I would much rather get rid of the need to sleep than the need to eat.
Yeah, I should point out
we're
that
not getting rid
whatever
of anything.
Criteria you use for any of these is up to you.
Okay.
I'm
right.
giving,
well,
I'm
we
giving
go.
No additional criteria.
It is subjective, and I've given my answer, and so have you. So.
Well, now it is law. Eating is objectively better than sleeping.
I was just trying to tell Mike why he was wrong. I don't know why he's...
Yeah, he's being very defensive about it.
It's because
all right,
I'm,
number
it's
two,
because I'm right.
Gentlemen. Well, no, you're actually
Clearly you're, not.
You're actually wrong, and it's now legally defined that eating is objectively better. Number two, logic or emotion?
Logic.
Logic.
It's a clean sweep. Logic is better than emotion. You don't even
don't
have to get into that one.
I love emotion, but logic is clearly way better.
Of course
I
it
love,
is.
I love, like...
You love love?
Two emotions.
Yes, I love love. Yeah, there's like two out of the 50 that are okay.
All right, number three. The existence of Star Wars or sex?
whole lot of silence. Oh, man. I'm going to say sex because without sex,
I would not enjoy have Star Wars.
I would not have my beautiful daughter. So fair as much enough. As I love Star Wars, I have to go with sex.
I have to go with sex too.
All right,
again,
it's another clean
also
sweep.
Love Star Wars, but yeah, it's got to be sex.
And really, Star Wars would not exist without sex.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, I mean, Vader is Luke's father, and how do you have a father without sex?
Sean, I don't know. I have to reiterate this, but the winner doesn't eliminate the loser.
Yeah. It's just which saying, is better.
I know. I'm just saying I can have sex without Star Wars. Can Star Wars exist without sex?
You can have sex without Star Wars? How?
Nothing can exist without sex. That's the problem.
That is the problem.
All right. Number four. Cool Ranch or Nacho Cheese Doritos?
I have to go with Cool Ranch. We just polished off a bag of that shit last night. That's some good stuff.
I'm all about the nacho cheese, though.
I'll tell you what. I fucking hate Doritos, and I don't give a shit about either one of those flavors. So can I abstain from voting?
You cannot.
You don't. How do you? Why do you hate Doritos? What
I mean,
wrong
that's a very
you?
Good question.
What the fuck are they? Like, I like potato chips, and I like Tostitos.
They're tortilla chips that are just covered in like flavor explosion.
No. Why don't you just eat tortilla chips and then put salsa on it like a normal fucking human
that's
being?
That's a different thing, and it's also good.
I don't like Doritos. Are just like
you can't abstain. So what flavor do you like better, ranch or cheese?
God damn! I'll say cheese. I guess.
All right.
I'm not a big fan of ranch.
Nacho cheese Doritos are now objectively better than Cool Ranch. It's law.
If the answer, if you're asking me what's a better flavor, cheese or ranch, that's a different.
We know Mike. I had to come up with different criteria for Sean because he doesn't like Doritos.
Then which Dorito is better?
Mike, ask me a leading question. Where would you rather raise your chickens, on a ranch or on a cheese?
I just think it's...
I guess I'll go with ranch.
I mean, I'd still rather raise them on the cheese.
I think it's absolutely just fucking insane that you don't like Doritos. Who the fuck
that is
doesn't
weird.
Like Doritos?
Doritos are so stupid.
Especially,
I hate Doritos.
Especially since up until like 3 to 5 years ago, you only ate about 8 foods.
Yeah, Doritos has never been one.
And I would have thought for sure Doritos would be in that mix.
They have too much flavor.
There's more sections of the Louisville Zoo than there are things that I would eat. Doritos are just so dumb. It's like it's overprocessed. Like, we're gonna put all these flavors on it. Like, no, just give me the chip and I'll decide what flavor to put on the chip. Why do you have to put the flavor directly on the chip before I even, you know?
Do you like sour cream and onion potato chips?
I sure don't. That's stupid. Just give me a regular fucking American salty potato chip, and if I want to put shit on it, I'll do that in my own time.
My God, you're a monster.
I just don't. I don't get it.
All right. I like barbecue chips, though, I'll tell you that.
Well, those are even more coated in shit than...
Yeah.
But they're not trying to, like, be subtle about it. They're like, hey, this is, like, a different thing altogether.
Nothing
Doritos
about
is
a
like...
Dorito is subtle.
Doritos are, like, the Guy Fieri of anything. I mean...
And everybody loves Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri of chips.
I just want to take a moment and point out that this is the most divisive question I've asked so far. And it's about Doritos.
And I don't care about Doritos.
But it's not divisive for the reason that it should be.
Yeah.
Which is that one flavor of Doritos is better than the other. It's that there is a person on the planet who doesn't like Doritos.
I'm sorry, but nacho cheese won.
All right.
That's the end.
We're moving
on. I'll deal with that. That's fine.
Number five. Fresh, clean sheets on your bed or warm socks and underwear on a cold day?
Fresh, clean sheets. I can adjust to the outside temperature, but if the sheets are dirty and filthy... I can't get past that.
Well, I didn't say the alternative is dirty sheets.
I know.
I'm just saying they're fresh.
It's kind of that moment when the sheets are fresh that you're talking about.
Just like when the socks and underwear are warm.
Right, because they're only going to be warm for like 30 seconds, too.
Yeah, at best. So.
But if they're not warm, socks and underwear, they will become warm in about 30 seconds because that's where a lot of your body's heat goes.
Have you ever put on socks and underwear right out of the dryer?
Ooh, that's of course I have. That's a nice feeling.
Yeah, but not in the summertime, it's not.
No.
But, yeah.
But cool sheets, cool clean sheets, those are nice all the time.
I have to go. I'm going to go with sheets, too.
You know, I was actually socks and underwear until Sean pointed out that you can enjoy fresh, clean sheets year-round. So it's a clean sweep.
All right.
Nice. I agree. That was a very convincing argument, Sean. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Number six, Freddy Krueger or Jason Voorhees?
God, that's a great question. Ooh, they're both just swell. I like them both. I really do for different reasons. Freddy Krueger, you know, he attacks your mind, and Jason Voorhees is like the ultimate zombie. You know what I mean? Like he's like gonna keep coming at you. And I actually heard something the other day about the appeal of zombies and why people are afraid of them. And it was an interesting take. It was basically zombies were created to show humans what kind of hunters they were. I think it might have been Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about how humans are endurance hunters, you know?
Like, sure.
And zombies are the epitome of that. They're these things that will keep on going. Yes, they're susceptible to the head or the heart or whatever, but otherwise they get a scratch and they keep on going and they're just relentless. And so that's what humans are afraid of if they would be hunted by themselves. And Jason Voorhees is very much that, whereas Freddy Krueger is just this emotional and mental threat. God, that's a really good matchup. If only they'd made a movie about the two of them fighting each other.
I think he's actually wrong there. I think the Predator is a much better example of if we were being hunted by the equivalent of humans.
Because it's something much smarter on a different level than we are.
It uses technology, which is exactly intellect. Technology, intellect, experience to hunt. You know, to hunt big game, which is exactly what we did. I don't think we. I would not say humans are relentless hunters. I think humans are opportunistic.
Well, it's endurance. No, but compared to animals.
Yeah,
we recover from injuries. We can shrug them off, injuries that would totally incapacitate.
We certainly can now. Yeah, that's true.
Well, no, but even years ago, when early humans would be chasing after a gazelle or something, it's like they can sprint, but then eventually they're going to get tired. Whereas we can jog or walk for as long as we need to, for much longer than they can, before they finally get tired and lay down, and then we got them.
Yep,
like that's. Humans are zombies to these animals.
That describes how a lot of animals hunt.
A lot, or just us and wolves?
Well, you know, wolves, lions also hunt that way. They tire
lions
out.
Lions get tired. I feel like
lions
get tired
cannot
a lot
go for very long
Actually,
distances.
The best example of this is a Komodo dragon. Are you familiar with how Komodo dragons hunt?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but for the listener, just go ahead and tell them.
So they minored in Komodo dragon hunting in college.
A Komodo dragon has a venomous bite.
Same.
It's a necrotic bite, so it's Ooh. Slowly deteriorates your flesh.
Same.
But what they do is they'll opportunistically tag you with a bite. Even if it's just a little scrape, and it could take days or weeks for you to succumb to the effects of the bite, and they'll just.
But
they
once
will
the
just,
bite happens,
they will
you're
follow
a
you around.
Dead man.
Yeah, they know once they've gotten you, you're done, and they just follow you around until you drop dead, basically, or until you're incapable of moving, and then they take advantage of it.
snakes.
Mm. To me, that's, that is like...
That's very similar to how I go around poisoning animals so I can eat them later.
I think the point is that there is an endurance factor there that even humans never possessed at any point in time.
Perhaps.
I would definitely compare humans more, or I would be more afraid of the predator than zombies for that reason.
Well, the question is Freddy Krueger versus Jason Voorhees?
The answer is the predator.
Over zombies. Yeah, of course the predator is scarier than zombies. I don't think anyone's arguing that.
Lots of people would argue that.
No, I mean, if you're talking like thousands of fast-moving zombies, that's potentially scarier than the predator. But if you're one-on-one in the jungle and you have to get to the chopper...
Get to the chopper now!
The predator is the scariest.
The argument was not that the predator was scarier. It was that he was more like how we would perceive humans to be.
All right.
Gentlemen, I'm gonna force the issue. Freddy Krueger or Jason Voorhees?
Jason.
All right, Mike's saying Jason.
You're not allowed to sleep with Freddy Krueger. I mean, Jason, you could at least catch a little nappers. Behind locked doors. It's not like he can pick a lock if you're... Oh, God. Fuck.
I should specify, I'm picking Jason because I'm actually less scared of Jason.
What? No, that's not the question, is it?
Which is better? Yeah.
Which is better?
I'd rather have a Jason in the world than a Freddy Krueger.
I did say that the criteria was up to each of you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm going to say... I think that Freddy Krueger is better at terrorizing and murdering people.
Yeah, we totally agree on that. But
all right, so we disagreed and also agreed.
Yes.
Great.
We disagreed.
So, Joe, it's up to you.
Well, I'm fortunately using the same criteria as you, Sean, so I'm also saying Freddy Krueger.
Oh.
So Freddy Krueger is objectively better. Yeah, but we're all right. Yeah. Even though Mike is also wrong.
I just had different criteria.
If there's a way for us all to be right and Mike to be wrong, that's the way I want to go.
Absolutely. That's the way we like it on this show. Number 7.
Cake. Oh, there's more.
Oh, yeah, there's two more. Cake or pie? Cake or pie?
Does pie include savory pies?
The criteria
for
each of these questions is up to each of you.
Well then I have to go with pie.
Mike, what savory pies are you willing to risk this entire thing in defense of?
Honestly, if it did not include savory pies, I would have chosen cake.
But what savory pies are tipping the scales for you?
Well, like any kind of meat pie, basically. A chicken pot pie.
Really?
Yeah, like a shepherd's pie. All kinds of meat pies.
Oh,
absolutely amazingly elsewhere. Delicious.
No, why does it have to be in a pie?
Because have you ever had one?
Yes, that's why I'm questioning you so aggressively.
Yeah, they're fucking amazing. But the point is that I get to have both sweet and savory pies or just cake.
All right.
You know, I
well, it's well, not it, either
it's,
or.
Yeah, it's not. It's not you can away, no longer Mike. Have cake.
I still think I do
it's
think
which
though,
is
that,
better.
If we include pizza, for example, in pies,
I would
meat
not
pies,
include pizza
any,
in pie.
Any savory
that,
pie.
You can't do that. That's a cheat code.
No, pizza is absolutely a pie.
It is absolutely not.
It's not. It's a pizza.
Sure, no, it is.
It's like saying a hot dog is a sandwich. It's a hot dog.
A pan pizza is a fucking pie. I don't care
that's
what
a
the
casserole.
Fuck you say. No, that's a deep dish pizza is a casserole. A pan pizza is
oh,
a
yeah.
pie.
I thought you said deep dish. I wasn't listening.
No.
I'm sorry.
Popcorn is vegetables.
But I can't. I'm sorry. There's too many amazing pies to give up for. Not to give up. I'm sorry. Not mutually exclusive.
Joe,
it is better.
Joe, you're going to be the deciding vote again because I'm going to say cake. And I'll tell you what. It is only because of Portillo's chocolate cake, which I worked at Portillo's. I know how to make it. I was exposed to it. You'd think I'd be sick of it, but
it's good cake.
That cake alone is enough to tip the scales for me. I love pie. I love apple pie. I love pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie is so good. But
it really is.
I would rather have a slice of Portillo's chocolate cake than I would a slice of pumpkin pie.
Well,
that's just me.
Portillo's chocolate cake is fucking amazing. Listeners, if you're anywhere near the Chicagoland region, you already know what it is. But if you're not, come here and eat some.
It's only a 5-hour drive from Louisville.
Yeah. I think they also have a couple locations in L.A. now, so go find those
Arizona,
as well.
Arizona, Florida, yeah.
There might be one in Florida.
Before I give my answer, I'm going to let you know that I did not include savory pie in my criteria.
Well, because you can reconsider.
You're a normal human being.
Oh, I'm not going to reconsider because it's still pie. I just fucking love pie. And I mean, sweet pies.
Oh, so it's pie either way.
Yeah, it was pie either way. I just fucking love pie.
Pie's amazing. I love French silk pie. There's so many different varieties. Cake, there's really, in my mind, there's like two. There's like chocolate or vanilla cake. But there are so many varieties of pie. You guys are probably right. I just couldn't choose it.
I just, pie is so good. Fully, especially the kind that is completely enclosed in pastry. It's just like.
That is good, but I also enjoy, I also enjoy like a lemon meringue or a lemon supreme. Key lime is excellent.
I've never had a pie that I didn't like, so cake sometimes can be dry and gross.
All right.
Not with the right amount of frosting.
Gentlemen,
that's what
we've come to the last question.
All right.
And I'm not sure Sean has enough information to answer this, but he has to anyway.
Star Trek?
No.
Oh, shit. All right.
At the time of their respective release dates, which is better? The Legend of Zelda, The Ocarina of Time, or The Legend of Zelda, The Breath of the Wild?
Oh, man.
The time of their release
At
dates.
The time of their respective releases.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'm going to answer first, okay?
Please do.
Now, I have only ever played Ocarina of Time.
I knew that.
And if I had to list the top 5 video games I've ever played in my life, maybe even the top 3, Ocarina of Time would be up there in the top 3 or 5. That being said, I know so many people who Breath of the Wild, that was their deciding factor in buying a Nintendo Switch. That I feel like at the time of release, Breath of the Wild means so much more to people in terms of it created that production or it created that effect of all these people getting this new console. And when I got Ocarina of Time, I already had the console. So as amazing as Ocarina of Time is, and I'm sure Breath of the Wild is great too, from my point of view, Breath of the Wild has to mean more to its release date just because of how many people it affected to actually buy a new console, which is a huge feat for a new game. To force you to buy an entirely new console.
Totally.
Well, I
is really big in my opinion.
It should be noted that Joe did not buy a Switch to play Breath of the Wild. He, I think this is even more impressive, bought a Wii U. To play
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, that is the console it was developed for originally.
But right. but Joe bought a new console.
He did, however,
because of Breath of the Wild.
My criteria would not include that. I don't care how many units it pushes. To me, it's more from a development standpoint and what influenced gaming more.
Sure.
As far as like what I enjoyed more, I cannot tell you because I enjoyed both games a lot,
yeah,
in different ways. But I have to say, to me, Ocarina of Time is the winner because it took what had been a 2D franchise, and not just a 2D franchise, every franchise was 2D, okay? It translated this game that was a puzzle game, an adventure game, an RPG hybrid into 3D in a way that was just perfect. Like, it just captured the spirit of Zelda, like, perfectly in a completely new way. Whereas Breath of the Wild is just an absolutely expertly crafted open-world adventure game that expands on or perfects a genre that already exists.
Now, you both of you have already completed Breath of the Wild?
Oh yeah,
multiple times.
Okay, because I would love to play it, but I don't want to go buy a new console.
If it were entirely as far, if my opinion were based on what would I play right now, I would say Breath of the Wild. I could play that game. That could be my only game for the rest of time. I'd probably be happy with it.
Sure.
Wow.
It's a great game, but did it shape the industry the way that Ocarina of Time did? No.
So hang on, real quick. So, I mean, would you put it like in your top three ever? Like, should I actually go out and get a Switch or a Wii U just so I can play this game? Because I loved Ocarina of Time, and I love gaming. So am I a fool for sticking with my PlayStation and never having played this game?
That and other reasons.
Yeah.
Well, clearly.
It's a game that, if you're a serious gamer, you're interested in gaming, it's a game that you have to play. Whether it's God now or it. Later, you have to play it.
All right. Interesting.
I would put Ocarina of Time is also a game that you have to play if you're a serious gamer. But Breath of the Wild is just a fucking masterpiece. It really is. I just have to put Ocarina of Time in that category because it broke new ground. And
I got to tell my wife. But I mean, also, shouldn't I get Red Dead Redemption 2?
No.
I would get Breath of the Wild before you get Red Dead Redemption 2.
Well, shit. And that I know Joe's played both of them.
Yeah.
All right.
Red Dead Redemption. I mean, I have it. I also have Red Dead Redemption 2, but I got kind of bored of it. It didn't keep me engaged.
I love the Red Dead Redemption series, but Breath of the Wild blows both of the games out of the water.
Almost like a wild breath.
Like a wild breath.
Blows them.
It's an amazing game that is still... people are still finding new weird shit in that game. It's amazing.
All right. I'll tell my wife that I need to spend Rose's college tuition.
Listen, what you're going to...
We've only saved $200.
We're exaggerating a little bit here.
By the time Rose goes to college, what you're going to spend on a Switch and Breath of the Wild will cover, like, the first day of class.
It'll cover two books. Look,
guys, Rose isn't going to college. Go. All right, Joe, you're the tiebreaker.
I'm the tiebreaker
then.
Here. I am the deciding vote on which is objectively better.
Ugh, this is so hard. This is...
It's very difficult.
So I said Breath of the Wild, and Mike said Ocarina of
Time.
Yeah,
oddly enough, that is true. Yeah.
Which is weird, yeah.
Just different criteria.
So, I have to determine my criteria, and I'm...
I would say, you should have thought about this, right?
I should have, but I didn't. Because I didn't think I would be the deciding vote. What it's going to come down to for me is which I enjoyed playing more at the time it came out. And honestly, that's going to be Breath of the Wild.
All right. I can't argue with that.
I loved Ocarina of Time, but there were several things in the game that were kind of tedious, and you know what I'm talking about. I never felt like traveling, even on foot over long distances, repeatedly in Breath of the Wild was tedious. It was always exciting and fun.
Definitely. Especially because you could just kind of approach it in a different way every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the open world aspect and just climbing over shit. It's fantastic.
Interesting. Man, I guess I got to play that game.
So Breath of the Wild is objectively better.
Yeah, I'll still go back to that game. And I feel like find places on the map where I'm like, why? I don't think I've ever been to this part of the map. Like, what
is
a big
map?
Where is this? It's weird.
All right, gentlemen, that concludes the first meeting of the triumvirate.
Gong. I'll add a gong sound. Oh, there's the bell.
Yeah, we kind of have a sound we use at the end of things.
Well, I was going to put a gong, though, because it's the triumvirate.
Why would a triumvirate have a gong? I don't understand.
Because we're deciding things forever, for the rest of time, objectively.
Yeah, okay. Kind of makes sense. And Gentlemen, thanks, Joe. With that, that is the end of our episode. And with a score of 2, Sean is this week's loser.
Yes.
So feel shame about that.
I feel no shame. You both know that.
Fucking feel some shame about it. You're a loser.
Nah, no can do.
All right.
Loser. Well,
that's it for this week. I'm Joe Moracle.
I'm Mike Barreto.
And I'm Sean Killer.
Have a great week. A Little Nonsense is copyright 2019 by its hosts. All ads are meant to be humorously fake. Any resemblance to a company, person, or other entity, real or imagined by someone else, is either entirely coincidental or purposeful parody. If you have a question, comment, or discussion topic, you can email us through the mail hole. That's mailhole@littlenonsense.com. You can find more episodes and anything else related to the show at littlenonsense.com. And now that the end of show business is concluded, I'll kindly ask, Sean, would you please take us out?
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. A little whimsy here and there is often very necessary. Mingle a little folly with your wisdom and you could be jolly. A little nonsense now and then.